Okay, we're starting with Masechet Me'ilah. We've talked a lot about Me'ilah in the past, but I'm going to give it kind of a proper introduction because now we're kind of just learning Me'ilah as opposed to learning. Well, I shouldn't say just. Obviously, lots of other things come up, but we're going to focus on Me'ilah. So let's start first with the Psukim. Vayikra he pasuk yudalid. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Don't worry, there's not a lot of Psukim if you don't have them in front of you. Nefesh ki tim'ol ma'al. Okay, there's the double lashon. Tim'ol ma'al. Okay, before we even continue, I looked up the root of mi'ilah. Okay, what's mem ayin lami? What does it mean? So if you look in the BDB, it's the dictionary from the academic world, it says, it's named after the author's Briggs driver, and I forget. Anyway, it says there it means unfaithful or treacherous, okay, which makes a lot of sense here. We're being unfaithful. We're using sanctified items for chulin or for our own purposes. But there's something a little strange about the fact that that's the definition, because we're going to see in a minute. I specifically stopped there. But what does the pasuk say? And if you remember the halacha, nefesh ki tim'ol ma'al v'chata bishkaga mikodshei Hashem. You do it accidentally. Now, it's very interesting to call someone treacherous or unfaithful when they've done something accidentally, which I think is very interesting here, because the Torah doesn't talk about what happens if you did it on purpose. Okay, right? You would think it'd be pretty bad if you did it on purpose, much worse. And the Torah doesn't discuss it. It only discusses shkagah. There's actually going to be machloket, what happens to you if you do it b'mezid. Do you get malkot? Do you get death in the hands of God? It's not clear. It doesn't say in the Torah, and therefore there's a machloket about it. So I thought it was interesting. I don't have a good answer for it, but maybe because Hekdesh is so sanctified. Again, let's go back to where we learned about shkagah. Where's the most prominent place of shkagah besides everything we just learned in our previous masechet about sinning thing v'shkagah? But ir miklat, somebody kills accidentally. So when we discuss shkagah there was a lot of discussion about shogei karov la'onesh, shogei karov la'mezid, and shkagah is really, you know, you say, oh, it wasn't my fault. But it really was somewhat your fault. Shkagah means you weren't careful enough.
Negligent.
Right, it's negligent, but not, no, negligent might be more karov la'mezid, I don't know. But it's the,
careful.
Right, you have to be more careful, and maybe that's the whole idea here, that you're being treacherous or unfaithful if you're not super, super, super careful about knowing what's hekdesh, making sure to use it properly, and maybe that's what's going on here. Okay, so let's keep going. What happens if you do the following sim bishkaga and you used it mi kodshe Hashem? We're going to learn that. What does it mean, kodshe Hashem? So kodshe Hashem, we're going to learn that this is limited. It's not any kind of kodshim. So now we're going to have categories. There's kodshim, and kodshim kalim. Kodshim are the higher level sanctity, the Ola, the Chatat, the Asham, versus the Kodshim Kalim, like the Shlamim. Remember, the Kodshim are eaten either by the Kohen or not eaten at all, and the Kodshim Kalim are eaten by people, right? Anybody. However, parts of the Kodshim Kalim and parts of the Kodshim that people, if people can eat the meat, parts of them get burnt on the Mizbeach. So we're going to say, what does Kodshe Hashem mean? So it's, first of all, Kodshim, okay, the highest sanctity, up until the point that you sprinkle the blood. Once you sprinkle the blood, then it becomes, now again, now it splits into two. If it's the Ola, it's always going to be sanctified because it's all going to God. It's, right, they learn it from this Kodshe Hashem. Only things that belong to God. Once you do the Chata and the Hashem, you sprinkle the blood, what happens? The meat becomes permitted to the Kohen at that point, which means that at that point there's no din of Me'ilah. Me'ilah leaves because it's already permitted to people. When it comes to Kodshim Kalim, so only the Imurim after Zrikat Dam, before you burn the Imurim, they have a din of Me'ilah. But the rest of it doesn't, because it'll be permitted to people. And the Imurim of Kodshei Kodshim also, after Zrikat Dam, will also have a din of Me'ilah. In other words, that will have a din of Me'ilah all the way through from the beginning until the Zrikat Dam. And the Ola, like we said, even after Zrikat Dam. Okay, so now what do you do if you're over on Me'ilah? V'heviat ashamo l'Hashem ayel tamim minatzon. So you have to bring your korban asham in ayo. We already learned this. Be'er kecha kesef shkalim. This is where we get the law that it has to be two shkalim. V'shekel hakodesh la'asham. V'et, and we learn from here to most of the other korbanot asham. Ve'et asher chatam min hakodesh yishalem. Whatever he spent, he now has to pay. Ve'et chamishato yosef alav. And he has to bring an additional fifth, which again, what do we mean? The fifth means you add a quarter, and then that amount that you added, which is called the chomesh, becomes a fifth of the total amount. Vinatano tola kohen, and you give that amount to the kohen. Va'kohen yichaper alav be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo, and then the kohen atones for him with this ayil, and he becomes forgiven. Okay, just like in our last masechet, where you become forgiven. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about what the issue is here. Rashi says it's because, I was thinking this sounds like a bit like a multiple choice test, so I'll tell you. Rashi says it's because you desecrated something that was sanctified. You took it and you used it, and that's desecration of it. The Rambam says it's a din of benefiting from something. You benefited from the hekdesh because you benefited, right? It's a din of hana'ah, okay, as opposed to chilul. Okay, one says degradation, one says nehaneh. And why did I say it's like a multiple choice test? Because Tosfos says it's both, right? Like you have this multiple choice test. Is it A, B, C, D, right? Or is it both? So Tosfos says it's both chilul and hana'ah. Also, we see that because there's certain cases where you benefit from it, and because of that, you're chayav and me'ilah. And there's some cases where you take it out of the reshut of the hekdesh and you give it to somebody else. You actually don't derive benefit. But just by giving it to somebody else, that already is a din of me'ilah because you've taken it out of hekdesh and used it. Now, one thing that happens with hekdesh also, that we did with me'ilah also, is what we discussed. When you use it, what happens? You remove the hekdesh from it. So it now becomes chulin. So after you, so what would be of an important relevance of this? Let's say I used it, and then you used it. So you're not chayav me'ilah because I already turned it into chulin. It's no longer hekdesh at that point. Okay? Okay, starting with the Gemara, with the Mishnah, on Bet Amud Aleph. Kodshei kodashim sheshachatan bidarom. Okay, this reminds us of Zvachim. If you remember, there was a whole thing about Kodshei kodshim shchitatam b'tzafon. You have to do it in the northern part of the asara. If you slaughter them in the southern part, which disqualifies the korban, mo'alim b'hem. Okay, there's a din of me'ila. We're going to have a whole discussion here about the issue becomes once you really knock out a korban and it's no longer valid at all, then theoretically you've already turned it into chulin and there shouldn't be a din of me'ila. So the Mishnah is going to state at which place in a timeline and which case if you've disqualified a korban. So at what point is there no longer a din of me'ila, and at what point is there still a din of me'ila? So if you take an each slaughter in the wrong place in the mikdash, which disqualifies the korban, still there's going to be a din of me'ila. Shachatam b'darom, not only do you have to slaughter them in the north, but you also have to accept the blood. Remember the four avodot, shchita, kabbalah, collecting the dam in a kli sharet, in a holy vessel, holacha, walking it to the mizbeach, and zrika on the mizbeach. So not only the shchita has to be in the tzafon, but also kabbalat adam. So let's say you shechted it b'darom, you shechted it in the wrong place, but you accepted the blood in the right place. Still, that's going to be you're also going to have a din of meila. Bitzafon v'kibel damam b'darom. If you slaughtered it in the north, which is actually the right way to do it, but you did the catching of the blood in the south, that's a problem. But yet you're still going to have meila. Shachat bayom v'zarach balayla. If you remember, all sacrifices have to be done, all the avodot, during the day. So let's say you did the shchita during the day, but you did the zrika at night. Obviously, the Gemara is going to have to say, what's the chidush in all these cases? Okay, balayla v'zarach bayom. If you did the shchita at night, which was disqualified, but you did the zrikat adam, which is the most important part of it, during the day, also it's going to have a din of me'ila. Now, again, what does it mean it's going to have a din of me'ila? If after this stage you then took it and used it for your own sake, even though it's a disqualified korban, you're still chayav in me'ila.
It's a very smart law.
Why?
Because people, if something gets disqualified, might rush to eat it.
Ah, yafeh. Right. You might say, disqualified now. Let's all go in and take it. And here they're saying
smart.
You can't take it right away. We'll see why. We're going to see that with most of these, or we'll see with these situations, the halakha is, if you remember, we had this halakha we learned in Tzvachim, that if something that's disqualified, that was disqualified, okay, the category they call it is It's disqualified. Well, there's a machlok at Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says if it's psulo was bakodesh, if it got disqualified in the azara, then im ala lo tered. If you put it on the mizbeach, you don't take it off. Okay, we continue to burn it. So there you see it still has sanctity to it. Okay, we'll get back to that soon. Osha shachatan chutz lizmanan v'chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo. Okay, this is, you didn't slaughter it outside the right time. You slaughtered it with the wrong intent, pigul. Okay, where you slaughtered it thinking while you slaughtered it, I'm going to burn it or do the blood in the wrong time, meaning the next day, or I'm going to do it in, outside the azara. A pigul korban, also moalim bahem. Okay, all of these moalim bahem. Now comes a klal, a general rule. Klal amar Rabbi Yoshua, kol shehaya lashat heter lakohanim, ein moalim ba. V'chol shelo haya lashat heter lakohanim, moalim ba. What does that mean? If it was mutar at some point to the kohen, this is what we said before, as soon as you sprinkle the, you put the blood on the mizbeach, now the kohen can eat the meat. Once that happens, there's no longer a din of me'ilah. But if this happened before that stage, then it's going to have a din of me'ilah. Ezo hishaya lashat heter lakohanim. So what's a case where it had a shat heter? Shelana v'shenitma'a v'sheyatz'a. Okay, so lana means you left it over, it was notar. Now, notar is always after you already did the blood. So you did the blood and then you left it overnight and didn't eat it. Well, that is obviously going to be, it already had a shat heter lakohanim, and then there's no longer a din of me'ilah. Vishenitma'a, okay, you did all the process, and then the meat became tameh, impure. Visheyatza, or it left the azara. If you remember, kodshe kodshim, that leaves the azara, becomes disqualified. So all those, you're no longer, those all had a shat heter. Ve'ezi ishelo, and therefore there's no din of mila. Ve'ezo ishelo haya la shat heter lakohanim, shenishchita chutz lizmana, chutz limkoma, v'shekiblu psulim v'zarku etama. All these didn't have a shat heter, like you slaughtered it with the wrong intent. Now there, the meat was never allowed to the kohen because you're only at the first stage of slaughtering. Or you did kabbalat adam, but who did it? Someone who was pasul, who was disqualified, who wasn't allowed to. If someone who's disqualified to accept the blood, let's say he was tameh. So he was disqualified to accept the blood, and then, right, zarku etama, so that never had a shat heter lekohanim because that became disqualified before it became mutar to the kohanim, and then it would have a din of mi'ilah. Gemara starts off. Katane kodshe kodshim sheshachatam bedarom moalim bahem. So the Gemara says, pshita, isn't this obvious? Mishum deshchikatam bedarom afikinun midei mi'ilah. So just because they were slaughtered in the south, we're going to assume that there's no din of mi'ilah. In other words, this seems to be a disqualification at the time of Shechita, before it had a heter to the kohanim. Why would you even think that the Mishnah would have to tell you that there is a din of mi'ilah? Wouldn't it be obvious that there's a din of mi'ilah still? So what do they say? No, you might have thought to compare it to the following. Itzderich. Salkadat hachamina ho'il v'amar Ula, amar Rabbi Yochanan. Because Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kodashim shemetu. Let's say you have an animal in the Beit HaMikdash and it dies. So you're ready to slaughter it and it dies. Obviously, you can't do anything with it at this point. Yatsu midei mi'ilah. So Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, there's no longer a din of mi'ilah for that animal. So therefore, you might have thought, and Dvar Torah. Okay? Yatsu midei mi'ilah. Right, so therefore, there's no more mi'ilah on a doraita level. Hachanami, you might have thought the same thing here. In other words, an animal that dies can no longer be sacrificed. An animal that you sacrificed in the wrong way, because you slaughtered it in the wrong place, which disqualifies it, you might have thought, kodshe kodshim, l'gabe darom, kama dechankinun dami. It's as if you strangled the animal. Okay? In other words, why? Well, it's a shechita psula, right? Yes, you slaughtered it in the kosher way, but you slaughtered it in a kosher way in a non-kosher manner. In other words, what did you do? The shechita was a kosher shechita, but you did it in the wrong place, and that disqualifies it. So you might have thought it's considered like an animal who died. An animal who died no longer has a din of mi'ilah. We're now, the way I look at it, it's sort of levels, gradations of how pasul something is. So we're going to say the most pasul is an animal dying. That already will take it out of the laws of Mila because it's so pasul. Whereas we're going to say Darom, you might have thought it was like it had died, but it's different. Okay, kamashmalan, now why? Kodashim shemetu lochazu klal. If you have kodashim that die, they're not ra'oi for anything. You obviously can't take an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly and put it on the mizbeach. But aval Darom, nihi de'eino ra'oi lekodshe kodashim, aval ra'oi lekodashim kalim. Since slaughter, now how bad is slaughtering in the south? Well, some korbanot do get slaughtered in the south, like kodshim kalim, ashlamim. Ashlamim can be slaughtered in the south. So it shows that slaughtering in the south is not so terrible. It's not the worst psul of the world because it is allowed in certain situations. It's true it's not allowed in this situation, but that already shows it's not the same as the animal dying. So now they say, okay, fine. So we see, you needed to say mo'alim b'hem. But then you kind of probably could have learned all the others. So now they're going to say, why do we have all the others? You need them all. Why? Itana shachatam b'darom v'kibel damam b'tzafon. Hacha de'it b'umi'ila mishum de'kabala b'tzafonu. If you say the case of slaughtering in the south but accepting the blood in the north, you might have thought, well, that has mi'ila. Why? Because at least part of it was done properly, right? You collected the blood in the north, at least. That makes it better. Aval shachatam b'tzafon v'kibel damam b'darom ho'il v'kibel b'darom hu nafik midei mi'ila. You might have thought, but in the case where you slaughtered it in the north but then accepted the blood in the south, there already you might have thought, what's worse, okay, the shechita is less important than the Kabbalat Hadam to a certain extent, or less on a high level. How do we know that? Because shechita can be done by anybody, and Kabbalat Hadam has to be done by a Kohen. Remember, shechita is k'shera b'zav. So because of that, you might have thought that maybe Kabbalat Hadam is more important, and therefore if you messed up the Kabbalat Hadam and you did that in the Dahom, maybe then it would be more like a dead animal. And that's why, and there would be no din of Mi'ilah, and that's why they need to tell you, no, even that case, there's still a din of Mi'ilah. V'itanahai, so if you had those, havamina yimamaz manachavahu. Aval, so that's all because you did this all during the day. Nobody ever said it was at night. We're assuming those first cases were done during the day. And that's at least a time that one could sacrifice. Aval shachata balayla v'zarak bayom. Laila's loves manakrava. Okay, you might have thought, well, nighttime, you certainly can't do anything at nighttime, in which case you would have thought maybe that case would be, again, like a dead animal, there'd be no din of me'ila. That's why you need that case. Behind the shachet balayla, ema nafik mide me'ila. Right? And then you would have thought, since you slaughtered it at night, it would have left the world of me'ila. V'itana shachata balayla, let's say then you had the case. Okay, shachata balayla, we understand. What about the other case? Remember the reverse? What if you shachat bayom v'zarak balayla? So what's the chiddush there? Hava mina ho'il v'kibel dama bayom eat bami'ila. Aval, right, that one, at least you accepted the blood in the daytime. Because there it says, it's actually weird, it says you accepted the blood in the daytime. Because you slaughtered it at night, and then it says you did the zrikah during the day. It's hard to imagine you collected the blood, but maybe you collected it somewhere and put it in the klisharet in the morning. Okay? But at least, right, part of the blood, and remember, the blood is the important part, so maybe that's why. But, v'itana shachata balayla, hava minohol v'kibal damam bayom, ipa mi'ila, ava shachatam bayom, v'zarak damam balayla, ho'il v'lav zman akravahu, kimand chankinu dame. But if you do the zrikat adam, which is the main part that gives you atonement, and you did that at night, you might have thought that clearly messes up the korban and maybe takes it out of the laws of mi'ila, and therefore kamash malan. Okay, so we've now gone through the shechita b'darom, accepting the blood of tzafon, tzafon accepting the blood of darom, the laila and yom, the reverse of shechita and zrika. Now we're going to get to pigul. Chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo l'may chazeh. How could they, now they're kind of asking the question a different way. If you do pigul, once the Kohen has the wrong intent when he's slaughtering the animal, well, you can't do anything with that. So why is that considered mi'ila at that point? It's not ra'oi for anything. It's pigul. You can't sacrifice, you can't eat it. It's nothing. So what do they say? Oh no, it is ra'oi for something. If you remember this, ho'il umiratzin lepigulim. We've talked about this with pigul. Pigul means The Kohen had the wrong machshava at the time of Pigul, right? He thought, when I slaughter it, I'm going to sprinkle the blood or eat it or burn it on the Mizbeach. Actually, not even sprinkle the blood, but burn it on the Mizbeach and eat it. Chutz lizmana. But when does the karet of Pigul kick in? When somebody eats the meat. Okay, you remember that? It's only the person who eats the meat that's chayav karet. The Kohen who has the wrong machshava is not obligated. If you remember, we discussed he has to reimburse the person for the meat that he, and it's the animal that he caused him a financial loss. Now the person has to bring a new korban because that one didn't work. But he's not actually obligated because he hasn't done something wrong necessarily. He certainly doesn't get the karet of people. You get the karet when you eat it. But interestingly, if you remember this halacha, you only get the karet if the rest, you went through the motions of the rest of the process. After the korban was messed up, you then sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach anyway. That's what it means. Ho'il umiratzeh lepigulin. Okay? So since, okay, you can look in Rashi. He explains it kind of well. It's Rashi on the next page. He says, klomar vi'i, it's on the third line of Rashi there. Ho'il v'hayshchita pigul chashiva kulehai, de'lo olam lo mitba b'pigul l'chayv karet ad she'ichrivu kol mitirin. In other words, you have to have what matirs it. In other words, normally, what would matir the korban would be the sprinkling of the blood. Therefore, you can't eat the meat of a korban if you didn't sprinkle the blood in a regular korban. So if you eat the pigul meat and you hadn't yet sprinkled the blood, so you're actually not chayav karet. It's only if they actually went through with the sprinkling of the blood, which should have matir the meat, but now the meat is pigul, then you're going to be chayav. So therefore, they say, what does that come to show you? That there, since there's meaning, significance, because what did it start with? What's it ra'oi for that you're going to have me'ila? Oh, what do you mean, what's it ra'oi for? Well, it's not ra'oi for a good thing, it's ra'oi for a bad thing. That the sprinkling of the blood is effective, I would say that word. It's effective. Now, it's not effective to give you atonement. It's effective to cause the pigul to be chal on the meat in the sense that you'll get curried if you eat the meat. Okay? And therefore, there's significance to it, and therefore, there's still a din of mi'ila. Okay. Now we're going to go on to a question. Ibayali. Okay, now the question is on, if you slaughter it b'dahom, okay, i'alu, let's say you slaughter something in the south, where you're not, right, in, it's kodshe kodshim, and you're not allowed to do that, i'alu mahu sheyirdu. Okay? If you put it on the mizbeach, do you have to take it off? Or are you supposed to leave it there to get burned anyway? Remember, it's a disqualified korban, but once it goes on the mizbeach, do you take it off or not? Rabba amar imalu yirdu. Rav Yosef amar imalu lo yirdu. Machloket emoraim. What you do with it. Okay, according to Rabba, you take it off. So it's disqualified, it doesn't belong in the mizbeach. According to Rav Yosef, no, you leave it on there. Alibad Rabbi Yehuda lo tibaylach. Okay, now, in order to understand this, you have to go back to Zvachim. We learned this in Zvachim in the Mishnah in Pei Dalet, I believe it is. The Mishnah in, what does it say? Whatever, I think it's the Mishnah in Pei Dalet. It says, there's a machloket Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's certain cases, like if you slaughter it at night, like in our Mishnah, if the blood spills on the floor, you lose the blood. If you took the blood outside the azara, in all those cases, if you put it on the mizbeach, it goes off. You have to take it off. So what they're saying here is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that all those cases, imalu, yirdu, everyone would agree, right, that this machloket, Rabbi Rav Yosef, is not according to him. Everyone agrees, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all these cases would have to come off the mizbeach. But lo tibayle, right? Because kule alma agrees, imalu yerdu. Ki pligi alibet Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who said, if it's psulo bakodesh, if it got disqualified inside the mikdash, then once it goes on the mizbeach, and that's, if something gets disqualified before you even bring it into the mikdash, well then, it's not gonna, if alu, you have to take it off. But if it was already in the mikdash and it became sanctified, and then it got a psul, and then you put it on the mizbeach anyway, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's going to stay on the mizbeach. So now comes the machloket. Their machloket is according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosef ke Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yosef, who says, don't take it off, obviously holds simply like Rabbi Shimon. Rabba amar lecha, Rabbi would say, though, Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Shimon, ela benitanim lamata shenitanan lamala, o benitanim lamala shenitanan lamata. What does he say? Okay, what's nitanim lamala and nitanim lamala? Okay, this is all good chazara and zvachim. There's the, okay, so the in the middle of the mizbeach was a chut ha-sikra, there was a red line, and there was a difference between the olata of and the chatata of. Okay, so the olata of was supposed to be, the blood was supposed to be sprinkled on the upper part of the mizbeach. If you remember, the kohen was supposed to stand on the corner there and then kind of smear the blood on the wall below him, on the top half of the mizbeach, and the nitanim lamata is the chatata of. And there he was supposed to stand lower down. Remember, there was that ledge in the middle of the mizbeach. No, actually, now I'm trying to remember. If he was standing there, he was supposed to stand on the floor and go up. Maybe he was supposed to stand on the floor. I forget exactly, but one was supposed to be, right, the olata of was supposed to be on the top half, and the chatata of was supposed to be on the bottom half. And in that case, if you did that wrong, and you put the blood in the wrong place, that's when Rabbi Shimon would say that imala lo yered. But in this case of shechting it in the wrong place, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you can't, it's disqualified for the mizbeach. Ula olam deshachatan v'kibel damam b'tzafon. Aval hacha, right, and that, but that's in a case where the shechita and the kabbalat hadam was done properly, and only the zrika was done in the wrong place. Okay, that's the case Rabbi Shimon would say. In other words, he'd say, you did everything right, and you did the early stages properly, but you messed up when it came to the zrika hadam, you did it in the wrong location. But, aval hacha, kevan de shechatan bedarom, kim man dechan kinun dame, he says, this case, though, would be as if the animal died, as if you strangled it, as opposed to shechting it. He views that as a real serious psul. This is, again, a way of understanding how Rabba understood Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon, in our case, would agree that this is a disqualification that wouldn't even allow it on the mizbeach. So now they bring a question. Tnan. Kochei kochim, sheshachatam b'darom, mo'alim b'hem. Well, then our Mishnah, right, if you're going to say it's like the mandachan kinun dame, then you're going to say in our Mishnah, what are you going to say then? Well, then there shouldn't be a din of me'ilah if it's totally disqualified. So bishlama l'Rav Yosef nicha, it makes a lot of sense according to Rav Yosef. Because again, we're going to interrelate these two things. Im ala lo yireh, that means it still has sanctity to it. Therefore, leave it on the mizbeach. You're not supposed to put it on the mizbeach, but if you did leave it, that makes perfect sense then that there would be a din of me'ilah. Ela l'Rabba kasha. My mo'alim behen. So what's this me'ilah if there's no sanctity to it and you can't leave it on the mizbeach if you accidentally put it on there? Well, how could there be a din of me'ilah? So the answer is midrabanan. We're going to learn a lot in this masechet. We've seen this before where there are some cases where we're going to say, well, on a d'oraita level there isn't me'ilah, but midrabanan there's me'ilah. So now this is going to be the obvious question. Well, how is Mi'ilah d'oraita different from Mi'ilah d'rabanan? Does Mi'ilah d'rabanan have the exact same laws as Mi'ilah d'oraita? So here they're going to tell you, my ika bein d'oraita l'drabanan. D'oraita mishlamim chomesh, d'rabanan lo. I say, the difference is the added payment. If you did Mi'ilah on a d'oraita level, you have to pay the value of the item and the additional fifth, which is really a quarter. But to Rabbanan, you only have to pay the value of the item. Okay, you have to repay that.
Seems very strange. Either is Me'ilah or it's not. And if they call it Me'ilah and that's the punishment in the Torah, how can the Rabbanim change it?
Well, the Rabbanim often change things. And again, the Rabbanim saw a need, obviously, to have people, maybe it's like you said before, which is you don't want people coming into the Mikdash and say, oh, look, you know, here's this meat. It became disqualified. Let's just go eat it and let's... They wanted to keep a certain level of sanctity within, and therefore, even when things became disqualified, even if theoretically mida'oraita, there was no din of me'ilah, they came in and kind of said, oh, well, we're going to say it's me'ilah anyway. Now, again, it's a little bit different, the do'oraita da'rabanan. I actually want to see something. It doesn't really talk about the korban. I'm assuming you still bring a korban, which is interesting that they could be mechayev you a korban. Right. So yafeh. So Tosfot says that the other obvious answer is that in Me'ilah d'Rabbanan there's no korban. Okay, and the Gemara could have said that, which is actually a really good answer. But I guess he thought it was a bigger chiddush to say. In other words, that was a more obvious, that you don't bring a korban. But the added chomesh was kind of a chidush, that on a drabbanan level, you don't even have to do that. So really, on a drabbanan level, it's just a sur, and the only thing you really have to do is, well, just repay the amount. That's it. Okay, there's no korban. Okay, now they say, umi ika mi'ila drabbanan, is there really such a thing? Okay, this is almost like your question, right? Well, what do you mean? It's either doraita or it's not. So the Gemara says, in. There is, how do we know this? Da'amar ula amar Rabbi Yochanan, kodashim shametu, yatsu midei mi'ila dvar Torah. Ah, notice that line we said before. If an animal dies in the mikdash, it leaves the laws of mi'ila. There's no din of mi'ila on a da'oraita level. Now, what does that sound like? Alma mi da'oraita lo it lahon. B'drabanan, it doesn't have mi'ila mi'da'oraita, but it must have mi'ila d'rabanan. And therefore, now it matches perfectly with what Rabba said. Because what did Rabba say? That the case of shchita b'darom is as if you strangle the animal. And what's the law on strangling the animal, according to of Ula and Rabbi Yochanan? That it's mi'ila mi'da'oraita, not mi'da'oraita. Because he says there's no din mi'da'oraita, which sounds like it means there's a din mi'da'rabanan. And that's exactly what Ula says, that the mi'ila mentioned in our Mishnah. So we now have a machloka Rabba Rav Yosef. Is the mi'ila mentioned in our Mishnah, is it da'oraita or is it rabanan? Okay, that's a big important machloka, because there's big nafkaminas, like we said, either korban and it's both korban and chomesh. So hachanami, just like by the case that they said of Kodashim Shemetu, also in our case, we'll say Midrabanan. Now they say, okay, the statement of Ula Nev Rabbi Yochanan, the Kodashim Shemetu Yatsu Midei Mi'ila, it's a little bit strange that they said such a thing. Why is it strange? Not because we don't agree with it, but because what they said, remember, they're a Moraim, it already said that in an explicit Mishnah, okay? And then the Nemora comes after the time of the Mishnah, and he certainly doesn't need to give us a halacha that said in the Mishnah, so it seems a little strange. Lema tanina lahadu ulam Rabbi Yochanan. Why don't we suggest that what they said already appears in a Mishnah? Afagav de tanina itzrich. Ah, sorry. According to what we just said then, according to Rabba's explanation, if you read our Mishnah through Rabba's glasses, okay, through his view of our Mishnah, what does our Mishnah say? Kodshe kodshim sheshachatam b'darom mo'alim bahem mi d'rabanan. There's no mi'ila d'oraita, there is mi'ila d'rabanan. That's basically saying the exact same thing. And if you say that, then obviously what Ula says is really one and the same. Because what Ula says that Rabbi Yochanan said is kodashim shemetu don't have a din of mi'ila from the Torah, they do mi d'rabanan. Which means that the Mishnah and what they're saying basically say the same thing, which means that they didn't need to make their statement. Okay, again, it's only if you read it through Rabba's understanding. So what do they say? Afagav de tanina itzdrich. Why? You still would have needed it, de'ula. Ula would still need to make his statement, even if you inferred it from our Mishnah. Why? So now what's going to be the obvious issue? Well, the Mishnah was talking about shchitatam b'dahom, right? And the Ula was talking about kodashim shemet. Now, until now, we said, well, according to Rabba, shchitatam b'darom is if you dechan kinun, right, is if you strangle them, which means they'd be just like kodashim shemetu. So theoretically, it's all one and the same. But now we're going to come up with a difference between the two, that because there's this minor difference, you might have thought that if you said the halacha about shchitatam b'darom, that there's mi'ila mi'darabanan, but no mi'ila mi'daraita, you might not have thought the same would be true for kodashim shemetu. Why? Sakada tachamina hacha lo bidelon minhon, aval kodashim shemetu ho ilu bidelon minhon, ema afilu mi'ila mi'darabanan lo. Our mission is basically saying there's mi'ila d'rabanan, right? Now you might have thought maybe there's mi'ila d'rabanan in shchitatam b'darom, but not necessarily in kodashim shemetu. Kodashim shemetu, no de'oraita, no de'rabanan. And that's why Ula needed to tell us. What's the difference? What's b'delim minhom? B'delim minhom, but badil is to be separate, different. When it comes to, so people will separate themselves from, people don't know the difference between, if you slaughter, you can tell the difference between an animal that was slaughtered and wasn't slaughtered. But you can't tell the difference between an animal that was slaughtered b'dalom and slaughtered b'tzafon, right? It's not a noticeable difference. So if the animal was slaughtered b'dalom, you might have understood, and here comes your question, why would the rabbis give me'ilah d'rabbanan to something? Right? Why would they say that? Well, the reason is because it's not very easily distinguishable. If it was shechted in the north or shechted in the south, it's kind of like we talked about tumah, right? You can't tell that something is tameh. So therefore, shlitatam b'dalom is not a noticeable thing. That's why the rabbis came and said, we're going to forbid this b'hana'ah because it might cause people to get confused. But when it comes to an animal that died, everybody sees the animal died and wasn't shechted. That's noticeable. And therefore, you might have thought, even midrabanan, there isn't. Kamashmalan metu. And that's why Ula needed to tell us this halacha about metu so that you'd know that it doesn't have me'ilah from the Torah, but it's still actually midrabanan has me'ilah, even though it's more noticeable that it's different. We're still going to forbid it from me'ilah. And then goes back to your question, well, why the rabbis institute that? But that's what we're going to say. And now we're going to stop here because this kind of goes into the next thing, which they're going to ask also about the case of Meitu. It also seems to say it in the Mishnah, and why would Ula say it? And we'll get to that tomorrow. As you can see, these Dapim are much shorter than Kritut, and hopefully we won't have long shiurim for the next little while.